You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We've got an action-packed hour for you, including pros versus the world. Colin Cowherd, wrong. ESPN, wrong. Associated Press, wrong. Vegas is right. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk Jim Harbaugh. Is it Jim or John? Brad, I mix these guys up.
Jim.
Yeah, doesn't really matter to me. I don't like either of them. You just heard him in studio with all the college knowledge. Brad Powers, NFL expert Steve Fezzik is with us. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you, but you can't have pros without the Joes. He's my favorite, Jonas Knox. Voice of the fans.
Always good to be here, RJ, as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We start, guys, in the NFL, where it was the Falcons beating the Giants 23-20 on Monday Night Football. A late touchdown catch by Odell Beckham made the score a little bit more respectable. But RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on what we saw last night in Atlanta?
I don't think very much changed. In a minute, Jonas, we'll talk about the beauty, the agony, and the ecstasy of sports betting. I think there was a Michelangelo biography called The Agony and the Ecstasy my mom had in the basement. I read it when I was like 12, thinking it'd be kind of titillating, but not as much as you might think. But sports betting, certainly titillating sometimes because of the how much money the swings on one play. And we'll talk about that. But the game itself, and we always try to learn what we can carry forward with us to make money next time. Fez, NFL expert, two-time Super Contest champion, I don't think there's a lot to learn here. What we knew coming in, Atlanta had a really bad defense, mostly due to injury. You might say, wait a minute, RJ, 55 minutes into the game, Atlanta had only given up 6 points. Yeah, but if you look at the yardage, Giants had a lot of yards. They just didn't convert in the red zone. Now, someone might say, maybe even Haystack Hank, if he were here, would say, wait a minute, that's what success is about, stopping them in the red zone. Yeah, over thousands or hundreds of reps, I agree with that. Over a short game, you have those 4-point plays, field goal or touchdown, or you have those 7-point plays, fourth and goal on the one. Yeah, you can give Atlanta some credit for those stops, but how much of that was Atlanta's credit? How much was luck? How much was the Giants' problem? I don't know, but I will tell you this. I left this game thinking the Giants' offense isn't all that good. That's how I entered the game. Do you agree or disagree with that, Fez?
Yeah, absolutely agree. Everyone else has been torching that Atlanta defense, and even though the Giants got a lot of yards, they certainly didn't have a performance that exceeded expectations.
All right, so Giants not so great on offense coming in, not so great going out. Atlanta D, far from great, one of the worst out there, maybe a little bit better than we thought, but not all that different when you look at the yards and not just the points. Agree?
I agree.
So, not much. Now, and again, listen, Socrates said a man who knows what he doesn't know knows a lot. Here's a slight variation of that. When you know that there's nothing to know, you know a lot. If you try to figure out, hey, let's try to apply some takeaways here that aren't really there, that can be dangerous. So let's accept we didn't learn very much. What we did do was win. We gave the best bet on the Giants, and let me tell you something. When the Giants had that 2-point conversion, Jonas, it is what gambling is all about. And I tweeted out at RJ in Vegas on Twitter right after the game. I said, boy, oh boy, watching a game as a fan and watching the game as a bettor is so different. If you ever could think about why people bet, think about if you just were a fan of that game. How little did you care about the last couple minutes? It didn't matter at all. You know, third or two, second and one from the one, it doesn't get in. Who cares? You're eating popcorn. You're starting to look for something on Netflix. But if you got any money that matters to you, you are engaged in that game, that meaningless couple of plays, than anything that week probably you're engaged with.
Yeah, and you're just tortured watching these quarterback sneaks tick, tick, tick as the clock is running out. Come on!
But you're not tortured if you don't have a bet. You're indifferent.
You're thinking about what's going to be on Manifest in an hour.
What's that? Do you know what that is, Brad?
New show on NBC for nerds.
for nerds?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, all right. So Fez is the target audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you get out? Oh, I got to hear about this another time. But moving back to the game, a lot of people were, I tweeted out with champagne clicks because we had the Giants. Now, we didn't care about the two-point conversion. In the Super Contest, $5,000 gold entry, we were only two games out coming in. We were 2-1-1, as we said on the show yesterday. This week, had one game left, Giants, plus 5.5. At plus 5, Fez, I didn't care. Now, we did give it out here at plus 4, so we were hoping all the Straight Out of Vegas listeners would benefit, for sure. But personally, we had the win booked at that point. So a lot of people got mad at my tweet because they were like, we lost. It's off. Listen, let me tell you, you got lucky. Let me tell you something. And I promise you this, you know, you've become jaded as a bettor when no matter how lucky your win is, you feel like you've been on the wrong side of that so much that you're never going to catch up and you don't feel bad for anyone. You're completely like, I finally got one of these. F you. True or false, Raz?
True. I just had Justin Tucker miss an extra point after making 220 consecutive ones. They owed me this one.
This is another example why people need to listen to Straight Out of Vegas. Even if you don't place a bet, just know what the bet is so that you can know at that very moment who just had their entire night ruined. I mean, just for that alone, just so you know that somebody got screwed on a two-point conversion by the Giants. That's how it's done.
And also know that we could care less.
Yes.
If you lost, deal with it.
Yes. Right? We will dance on graves on this show.
That's the beauty of it. Because once you start, you know, and here's the thing, and it's the same thing in poker, is if you have the best of it, you're going to get bad beats more than if you don't. Because think about it. Let's say you win 55% of the time, Fez. You're going to be on the right side of the number with 2 minutes left, much more than the coin flipper. And thus, the late backdoor scores are going to hurt you more because you're winning with 2 minutes left, right? So conceptually, if you legitimately have more bad beats over the long run, it's a sign you're on the right side because you can't. If you're losing a game by 20, you can't have a bad beat at the end, right? And if you're losing the game even by 3, it's a lot harder to have a bad beat than if you're winning ATS against a spread by 3 because it's that late score the other way. So in general, guys like us, Fez, and I would say our Super Contest is a good example of this, when we lose close ones, and when we win, half of them are close and half of them are blowouts. Now, it's not like we never get blown out, but if you look at the distribution of results, we are totally out of it rarely relative to the times we have an easy win.
Unless we bet on the 49ers.
Well, that happens occasionally, too. RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas. Last thing about this game. This is one of my pet peeves. I'm going to say it quick. All of the, I have a minor in math from some crappy liberal arts school that no one's ever heard of, but cost you $30,000 a year because you were so stupid to pay it, or your mommy did. Whatever combination of events that lead to these analytics people online, They're not verified. That's fine. If you're not verified, that's fine. But if you're acting like you're some expert, probably at some point someone should have thought you were worth being verified. And you're talking about how dumb, you know, the Giants coach is or this coach is. It's like, how much money are you making, right, compared to Schumer? And maybe even if they're wrong, I'm not even saying they're wrong, though they're wrong a fair amount. In fact, Fez, you thought they were wrong yesterday.
Yeah, Schumer was absolutely correct to go for 2 down 8. But
everyone's like, how crazy was this? And not everyone, but a lot of people. And to me, here's the real idiocy. One, if the guy's making millions and you're not, kind of question why. And it's not just everyone's an idiot. Like that billionaire paying the millionaire isn't necessarily always an idiot. Let's start there, right? But number two, if you're a better, and some coaches are efficient at the end and some are inefficient, that's an edge. We said it yesterday with the Chargers. I don't want to bet the Chargers in close games. Why? Because the coach is inefficient at the end, which means I'll take four, let's say, instead of taking a plus money on the money line, or vice versa, I might want to take the money line in some spots, all because I don't want to be on the Chargers having to win a close game. If everyone was optimal, then how would you take advantage? You'd be sitting still in your mom's basement, still with your sweatpants on, and you'd be nodding saying, yep, everyone agrees with me. Like, what did you just gain from that?
And this happened on the coin flip. It used to be a lot of teams in the NFL took the ball when they won the coin flip. Now everyone in the league has figured it out. It's slightly better to defer, and that's what every NFL team does.
And how did you take advantage of it back when some teams didn't do it, Fezzik?
Well, the best bet was betting who was going to punt first, and even better, who's going to receive the opening kickoff, and I bet that more than once.
So how many, all joking aside, we don't talk numbers too much, but is it fair to say you've made enough to buy a nice new car off of those type of bets?
Probably 90,000.
All right. So you've made 90,000 in your life because some NFL guys, coaches did it wrong when it came to deferring or not. Now no one does it wrong.
So now it's worthless.
All that money's dried up.
No more new car.
Yeah. But everyone's screaming, hey, I hope that everyone starts to be optimal so I no longer have value. Maybe it's because they're not really betting any money that matters, and maybe that's why they're screaming so much. Yeah, I think that's the best bet of the day. When we come back, speaking of professionals, it's the pros versus Colin Cowherd, ESPN, and more.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here momentarily, we will have another edition of Pros versus the World here on Fox Sports Radio.
We have fun every weekday bringing Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 81 degrees, and the neon is pumping.
It's become a Tuesday tradition here on Straight Out of Vegas. Nobody is safe. It's time for this.
Pros versus the world.
First up, ESPN, who has the Philadelphia Eagles coming off a loss, sitting at number 10 in their power rankings. Steve Fezzik, where do you have the Eagles?
The Eagles are underrated. I have them number 6 currently, Jonas, and it is all about the obsession that everyone else seems to have with wins and losses. The Eagles are 3-4. Doesn't look very good, but this team is clearly trending upwards, number 6 in my rankings.
And I think that's an interesting point, because a lot of listeners can be like, wait a minute, Fezzik, you got a mansion, you got a yacht, but we're fans. We care about wins, losses, we care about standings. We care about making the playoffs. Absolutely correct. If we're judging right now the chance of the Eagles to make the Super Bowl, you've downgraded them, or win the Super Bowl, repeat, you've downgraded the Eagles greatly, right?
Have to, because it's so unlikely that they're going to get a home field advantage and be a number one or number two seed.
And thus, that's the dichotomy. On one hand, as a fan, wins and losses matter. Standings matter. Making the playoffs matter if you're going to bet a team to make the playoffs or win the title. If you're just, though, judging how good a team is, imagine the most famous example, Giants, Bills, Parcells, Super Bowl. Uh-oh, kick, 47-yarder. Ah, it missed. Giants win. Were the Giants any better than if Buffalo had made that field goal? No, it was a coin flip at the end. Yeah, the Bills are still trying to win a Super Bowl because they lost that one. Who knows what would have happened in future years? They could have won 4 in a row, right? That was the first one, if I remember.
Yep.
Yeah, it has all these real-world effects, no doubt about it. but it doesn't necessarily affect how good a team is. And what you're saying is, Fez, ESPN says, oh, look at this record. Eagles are 10. You're saying, forget the record. The truth of the Eagles, number six. And Wentz is trending upwards. ESPN is wrong. Vegas is right.
Guys, we mentioned that nobody is safe in this segment here on Pros versus the World. That includes our own Colin Cowherd, who has the Redskins ninth in his herd hierarchy. Steve Fezzik, where do you have the Redskins?
Where's the Redskins?
I've got the Redskins number 20. Colin has them number 9. That is crazy to me. Again, all about, I believe, obsession with wins and losses. The Redskins are 4-2. But what happened? They just won two very close games that could have gone either way. And in fact, when they beat Carolina, they were +3 in turnovers. And the pros, the wise guy secret, knows that when you're +3 in turnovers, you really should win that game unless you are completely outplayed.
And if anything, think about the double whammy around that. You win a coin flip, but to even be in the spot of a coin flip where you have a chance to win, it took a bunch of turnovers, which have a huge element of luck.
And even with that, they're life and death, and the other team's in the red zone with 2 minutes to play.
So Washington, lucky to even be in a coin flip spot, and then they won the flip. Now you look at their record, and there's this narrative. If the Eagles were 5-6-1 and above them, I don't think Washington would be getting the love either that they are now, because they're leading the East, and there's this sense, oh, they're in the driver's seat, the Skins, to win the East, which doesn't make the team any better, but I think it changes the narrative.
That's a great point. A game and a half up on everybody else. This is the team to beat right now. Probably not.
So if we have a team that we consider to be overrated, our gut instinct, Fez, is going to be to fade them, right? So this week, Washington is at the Giants, early line right now. You can go to pregame.com, click the game center, and you can see the live lines. Right now, Giants are 1-point dogs. So Washington on the road, favored by 1 at New York. So do you have a gut early instinct on that game?
I don't, and my concern is that the Giants may well be overrated as well. 1-6 right now. We saw a maximum effort. They played hard against Atlanta the entire game. How much is left in the tank for this game for the G-men?
So great teaching moment is you can think a team like Washington, in this case, is overrated. Doesn't mean you're going to play against them, fade them blindly. Why? Other team could be overrated. One. Number two, there could be situational factors, injury factors, all kind of things. In this case, Colin Cowherd from our very own Fox family, but he's still wrong. He says Washington number 9. Vegas says number 20, Washington overrated.
Guys, next up on Pros versus the World here on Straight Out of Vegas, the Associated Press, who has Washington State 14th in its latest poll. Brad Powers, our college football expert. Where do you have Washington State?
I have Washington State clearly overrated. Here's a Cougar team I don't even have in my top 25. I have Washington State number 26. And to me, comes down to schedule. Washington State, I'll give them credit. Nice home win against Oregon. Nice home win against Utah. But there are other 5 games on the schedule. I would put it up there as some of the weakest strength of schedule in the entire country. Non-conference, San Jose State, Eastern Washington, Wyoming. Where's the quality wins? And they've really only played one decent team, Washington State, on the road. USC, what happened in that game? That's Washington State's only loss on the season. Washington State overrated.
So how much would we say in one of those handful of games, Brad, Washington State played that really were competitive, that really mattered, was this week, and they had a massive motivational edge? How much do we say, yeah, that was a great win, let's give them some credit, but maybe 10% less credit than if they didn't have such an advantage?
I couldn't have said it better. I mean, give them credit for the big win over Oregon this week, but also keep in mind, that was arguably one of the biggest home games in school history. ESPN College Game Day is there. Washington State uses all that buildup all week, all day long. Washington State's up 27-0 at halftime. In fact, you even saw a little bit of a letdown during that game. That's how much emotionally spent they were leading up to that and playing in the first half.
Okay, Washington State, let's look ahead now. So we're thinking we want to fade them. And they are a big game, one of the biggest games of the week. 3-point underdogs at Stanford. you probably have a lean here at least. What do you got?
Well, I got more than a lean. I got an early best bet here. But let's
an early best bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
we usually wait for the last segment. What do you want to just do it now?
Yeah, let's just do it now.
Go.
Early best bet is on Stanford -3. And look, let Vegas tell you how overrated Washington State is. Stanford's number 24 in the AP poll. Usually get 3 points of home field advantage. Number 24, 3-point home favorite against number 14. Basically, Vegas says these two teams are even. I say they're not. Stanford, in my opinion, is better than Washington State. Catching Washington State in a good spot here for Stanford. They got a couple extra days to prep. Washington State's off that big emotional win over Oregon. And Stanford's home field edge doesn't get enough credit. Last 11 years, we got a close number as far as to even. 59-9 straight up. Stanford is at home the last 11 years. Give me the Cardinal -3 early best bet.
That is freaking gorgeous.
Now that's a good handicap. Now here's what I'm interested in though. There's a guy that shows up occasionally at the pregame.com studios. We call him Hayseed. No, he's Haystack Hank. Because we started calling him Hayseed and some people said, you know, that might not be right. He's Haystack Hank. I wonder what he would say, but when he shows up, we always hear his theme music. What would he say about Washington State?
Oh, are you kidding me? At Washington State, they got that quarterback threw for over 400 yards. You see them beat that Oregon team last week? I liked Oregon that game. Washington State killed me. I lost my bet. Are you kidding me? Give me Washington State or Stanford? Stanford got crushed by Utah. Are you kidding me? Notre Dame killed Stanford. Washington State, they'll have no problem here. Give me the Cougars, man. They roll over Stanford. I don't need – forget them 3 points. Are you kidding me? Washington State by 3-4 touchdowns here.
I mean, who doesn't like Haystack? What do you think, Jonas?
I love Haystack. I just love the idea that there's some guy who like works for cowtipping.net or something like that, and he handicaps college football games, and that's the exact handicap he's going to give.
Now,
in
what's
that
funny
tone.
Is Haystack, let's be candid, was playing wrong about a lot of picks last week. He refuses. He actually has an agent. His agent refuses to let him talk about losers. If he wins, he'll talk about it. If he loses, he'll ignore it. But again, if you want a Haystack, you got to deal with it. All right, so to recap, every Tuesday, Pros versus the World, ESPN says Eagles are 10. Fez says, oh, no, they're better than that. They're number 6. Colin Cowherd, no sacred cows. Washington, he says, the Skins, number 9. Fez scoffs, says number 20, overrated. Finally, AP. We are the official odds provider for the Associated Press. We very much appreciate AP, but they say Washington State's 14. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, says no, number 26. In fact, I'm backing that up with my cash. Best bet from Brad Powers is Stanford laying the 3. Stanford laying the 3 against Washington State. When we come back, we're going to tell you what to think about the Lakers being 0-3.
That's next here on Straight Outta Vegas. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, Dan Beyer.
Guys, Game 1 of the World Series comes up on Fox with coverage an hour from now. First pitch, 8:09 Eastern Time. There had been a threat of rain. Rain has moved out of the Boston area. Did cancel BP, but not going to affect tonight's game. Clayton Kershaw takes on Chris Sale. The Dodgers will have Brian Dozier playing second and batting leadoff tonight against the lefty in Sale. Predominantly right-handed lineup for LA that includes Matt Kemp as the DH and David Freese getting the start at first base. Some breaking news from the NFL as the Vikings say that defensive end Everson Griffin will resume team activities starting tomorrow. He took a leave of absence to deal with personal issues last month. Eagles defensive end Derek Barnett's going to miss the rest of the season. He needs surgery on his shoulder and will be placed on injured reserve. Earlier today, the Giants traded corner Eli Apple to the Saints for a 4th-round pick next year and a 7th-rounder in 2020. Broncos backup QB Chad Kelly arrested on charges today of criminal trespassing after allegedly going into a stranger's home at 1 o'clock this morning in Inglewood, Colorado. After mumbling incoherently and sitting on a couch next to a woman and a child, Kelly was chased out of the house by a man with a vacuum hose Police spotted Kelly a short time later sitting in an SUV. An arbitrator has denied a grievance against the Bengals by Panthers safety Eric Reed. The NFLPA filed the grievance on behalf of Reed after claiming the Bengals asked him if he would continue to kneel for the anthem if he signed with the team. The arbitrator ruled the Bengals had a right to ask the question. And finally, guys, tonight in the NBA, Sixers and Pistons getting underway at the top of the hour. No Ben Simmons tonight for Philadelphia, ruled out because of tightness in his back. Back to you.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas comes to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up 15 minutes from now here on Straight Out of Vegas, it is Best Bets time, your chance to make a little bit of cash on a Tuesday night. I am Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan, and he is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, and that best bet from Fez is going to be his early NFL best bet. And once again, he saved us a winner with his line move prediction on Tampa, betting it early. Great value from Fez. Speaking of that, we're going to talk NBA in a second. But you think this Minnesota defensive player being back is a big deal?
Yeah, he's their edge rusher. He's worth at least a half a point
his
a game.
His name is?
Griffin. And he has been out for the past month, and everyone's been asking, what's wrong with that Minnesota defense? This is part of it.
All right, interesting. And plus, I think since it was more than just football that had Griffin out, it felt like it kind of discombobulated the Vikings a little bit. That here's a guy we care about, he's our teammate, and he's got some real problems. If he's well enough to get back to football, that means he's well, or generally so, and that's a good thing, I think, psychologically for the Vikings.
Agree, and the buy sign's already blinking on that Minnesota D that played great against the Jets last week.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, shifting to the NBA. Fez, LeBron, he's the king. When I signed my Fox contract, they said, you got to mention LeBron. I can't tell you exactly the fraction of days, but it's contractual, it's high. Not really, but almost. But I think it's a heck of a story. 0-3. I saw some small online website. I don't even remember which one. A bookmaker had that right now Luke Walton is the favorite to be fired first. I would love to bet. I think it was plus 175. Let me lay 250 on the no, please. Right? Magic has a plan. Magic's not letting him start the season, Walton, unless he wants him as the coach. He would have fired him the day he came in. Magic would have. If he wanted to.
I'm Magic Johnson. You know how many finals I've been in?
I mean, you think he's afraid? Do you know how many finals Fez Magic's been in? So that's absurd. But what do we take away from the 0-3?
Well, I think that we knew it would take some time for the Lakers to gel together. But I think the bigger picture is maybe it's not so important to the Lakers how they do this year. It's all part of the bigger plan.
And we talked about that right before the first game a week ago, which is the Lakers win total, season wins, 82 games was 48. We liked the over if we felt like LeBron was going to play like last year, which he played every game, and he played more minutes per game than any other player in the NBA at his relatively advanced age. Let's give him a ton of credit. The question is, would he make a statement this year and do the same thing with the Lakers? Or would he set up for year next year, the year after? Because his goal is to win a title, but not necessarily this year. Now, a listener might say, RJ, he wants to win every year. Yeah, but would you go from, let's say, a 5% chance this year to a 4% in order to go from a 30 to a 40 in 2 or 3 years? And I know you can't estimate it exactly like that, but I think that's the logic. And I think we're going to see it with LeBron's playing time. But I also think we're seeing it with Luke Walton and the team, the Lakers, trying to establish a culture of toughness. Because you're not going to beat Golden State with skill, right? You're not going to shoot better than them, probably, in a 7-game series. But you can be tougher than them. Think about Michael Jordan back in the late 80s versus the Bad Boy Pistons. Now, if the Bad Boy Pistons had LeBron on top of it, you don't have to be that bad. You can just be West Coast bad, let's say, relative to having to be Knicks bad, you know, back in Pat Riley's days or the Pistons. It feels like, once again, the Lakers are attempting to establish that tough culture and get these young players toughened up more so than worrying about every single win or loss right now, which makes me optimistic about the Lakers midterm, long term, but I don't want to bet on them now. Jonas, I think there's also an element that you were discussing about last year took a lot out of LeBron.
Yeah, you saw signs of it in the postseason where he would not get back on defense or he wouldn't hustle as much as you would see him previously in his career. But ESPN Stats and Info released the following after LeBron missed two free throws in last night's game late, that late in games in the fourth quarter and overtime in one possession games, LeBron is one of the worst free throw shooters, actually is the worst free throw shooter in the league since the start of last year. So I don't know what you make of the sample size, but it is something of note.
Yeah, I mean, to me, every one of those free throws really matters. So, yeah, small sample, but it's a whole season. And I think it speaks to two things. One, fatigued, potentially. Two, LeBron. I think Michael is clearly the best NBA player ever. Right? I grew up in the 80s, so I can't speak to Oscar Robertson or whatever. Just like kids today, though YouTube makes it easier, can't speak as well to Michael. But I think LeBron gets more attention today than Michael ever got, because everywhere he goes, there's phones. I mean, think, Michael, I'm guessing there's a few nights in Atlantic City that if there were phones, we'd be thinking a little differently than Michael, about Michael, right? So LeBron is under the spotlight perpetually. If he's not behind a guarded gate, he is in the spotlight. And because of that, I think it's stressful. And I think if he misses some free throws late, he's going to hear about it more than Michael ever would have. So I think it is last year, maybe some fatigue, getting a little older, played, as we said, the most games and the most minutes per game. He didn't miss any games, so you can't do better than that. And he played the most minutes. But I also think that late, if you know, oh my gosh, if I'm going to miss this free throw, the whole world's going to explode, or at least Twitter, might tighten you up a little bit. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. One last thing about the NBA, Fez, the scoring. Oh, wow. You just glance at the scoreboard and you see it's up. Let's tell how much. So compared to last year, the scoring is up 13 points per game. But listen, Vegas, we know they didn't get caught by surprise. They expected the scoring to be up, but not this much. If you actually just bet the over, so over under is total points in a given game. If you had just bet the over on every game this year, you would be 65%, 31 overs, 17 unders. And if you look at the points per game, it's exceeded projection expectation by 6.5. So think about it. The league's up 13 points. Vegas expected half of that, 6.5. They didn't expect the other half, and that's why over is 65%. But the market, the bettors are adjusting fast. Yesterday, the over was 4.5, so 4 overs, 5 unders. And today, in the Pelicans-Clippers game, the biggest total of any game all of last year or this year. So the market is catching up fast. Quickly, Fez, why do you think scoring is up so much?
Two major reasons. One, rule change. You get an offensive rebound. The shot clock resets to 14 instead of 24, so more possessions because of that. Second reason, freedom of movement emphasis. You can no longer hold anyone on defense. Fouls are up over 6 on average per game, more fouls, and the defense knows you can't clutch or grab at all.
And that's a point of emphasis, as you said. So to me, the recap, NBA scoring up, Vegas expected about half of it, not the other half. But based on yesterday, it looks like the over-unders are already caught up. Be careful. When we come back, not only a best bet from Fezzik, but he will tell you which way this NFL game line will move.
That's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted. Money-making time is next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. We will have best bets coming up here momentarily, but we do have game one of the World Series tonight in Boston. We are less than 2 hours away from first pitch. The Red Sox, in a line that has actually moved in the last hour on pregame.com, the Red Sox are currently a minus 170 favorite in game one. RJ, what is the Vegas take on the World Series?
Red Sox getting steamed up here, right? Red Sox favored. This is amazing. Kershaw, right? Great pitcher. Struggles in the postseason at times. If you go back his last 200 starts, back to July 24th, 2012, 6+ years ago, on that date, July 24th, 2012, Kershaw was an underdog in a game, meaning you had to bet. If you bet 100, you won more than 100. For the next 6+ years, 199 straight games, Kershaw was the favorite. Vegas said Kershaw has a better chance of winning than the opponent. 6 straight years, 199. Today, Kershaw, Game 1 World Series, is an underdog for the first time in that 200th game in over 6 years. Wowza, wowza. If you look at the series, also Red Sox money. So this is betting who's going to win the World Series. They are up to minus 165. What does that mean? It's a money line. Bet 165 to win 100. The dog is plus 145. 100 wins you 145. The difference is the dastardly bookie. He's taking his vig. They call that the straddle. So minus 165, plus 145. Now, Fez, we've talked about this. Home field in baseball isn't quite as much in a 7-game series as the NBA. So if these teams were even, Red Sox would be about minus 140 in the series.
Correct. Worth about 40 cents home field.
So it opened about 140. So the betting market said, or at least the odds makers said, Vegas said, hey, these are even teams. Give the Red Sox home field. The bettors have come in and said, no, 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 Red Sox are better. And they've been bet up to 165. Last thing on this game. A lot of people here in Vegas are talking about this being the biggest bet World Series ever. May happen, may not, but we're in that conversation. Makes sense. Red Sox, huge franchise. Dodgers, huge franchise. And one tip on the picking of the World Series. I don't have a pick tonight. I'm going to look to fade the Dodgers when they're favored on the weekend. Why? I like to bet underdogs, so I'm fading the favorite. So I like to bet underdogs in general in baseball. But also, there's a lot of geographic proximity from LA to Vegas. All you got to do is drive that highway and pass the Mad Greek and such and see the line outside to get my baklava flavored shake. Oh, wait, too much information. But because of that, what happens? The universe of bettors here in Vegas has a bias towards the Dodgers on the weekend more than during the week. So now you got the Dodgers in the World Series. You got the Dodgers favored because they're at home. And you got all the LA people in Vegas. I think that adds another 10 cents or so to the Dodgers. Pure value. So I'll be looking to bet the Red Sox as a dog over this weekend. I'm not saying I'm going to do it for sure, but that's my bias. Fez, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I love it. I used to drive to Prim, the border town, California, Nevada, to bet against USC and UCLA when they had an independent book 5 years ago.
You are the dirtiest player in the game.
Guys, we will have an early best bet coming here momentarily, but I do want to let you know we are brought to you by Geico. This is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. But it is time. Every Tuesday here on Straight Outta Vegas, Steve Fezzik gives his early best bet in the NFL.
So why bet early? You bet early because you get the better number. Fez is a master. I mean a master.
In all the 5 boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f***ing world.
Because of his line move predictions. It's been years and years he's put them up, and you've been 70%+. This year, you've predicted the line move 75% on this pick. 3 out of 4 times we've done it. This is the 5th time. Oh, by the way, you're 2-1-1, and one of those pushes was, or the push was this week, Tampa -3. If you bet with Fez, you pushed. If you didn't, you lost. Fez, early best bet.
Let's go to London, Philadelphia Eagles -3. I like this game. I bet this game against Jacksonville. It's about the Eagles being undervalued, all about their poor quarterback play in September. Foles was poor. They had to rush Wentz back. So they really had 4 games where they had bad offensive stats. Now this Eagle offense is going to take off, in my opinion, going forward. Contrast that with Jacksonville. Here's a team with good stats, but I expect those stats to crumble with all of the locker room problems that they currently have. The team does not want Bortles quarterbacking them. Bet the Eagles -3.
Yeah, Bortles might be the better quarterback, but the locker room doesn't want him right now. You add that into the stress of this trip. I agree with you. Fez says Eagles -3. Fez says the line's going to move. Book it.
The Odd Couple comes up next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are Straight Out of Vegas. We'll be back 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific tomorrow here on Fox Sports Radio and on the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.